The Holy Gospel is written in the 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at verse 55. Chapter 27, verse 55. Many women also were there, looking on at a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is the day after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate, and they said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first." And Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came to him and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. This is the Gospel of Christ. gracious, loving Lord, we pray that you will take your holy word as we have heard it this day and bring to us the blessing you have appointed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I've come to the conclusion that if out of all the resurrection material in the New Testament, if I had to choose just one verse, praise God that that choice doesn't rest before us, but if I had to choose one verse, I would bring to you Acts 3:26. God, having raised his child Jesus from the dead, sent him to bless you. The verse I quoted to you at the beginning of the service. So often, as Easter time comes round, somebody turns the resurrection into a problem. Not so frequently now, since the former Bishop of Durham has retired from the scene, but it was the recurring annual event. When Easter came, problems came. And when we read the New Testament, we find that the resurrection is not a problem, it's a blessing. God, having raised his child Jesus from the dead, sent him to bless you. Not a problem, but a blessing. So out of this passage from Matthew, I've picked three or four verses to give us a starting point. Will you listen to them? Here's the first. It's Matthew 28 and verse 6. He is not here, for he has been raised, just like he said. The first Easter fact is the empty tomb. Now, you don't need faith to see that a tomb was empty. All you need is a pair of eyes. That's not a problem, is it? The tomb was empty. We go on then to verse 7. Tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. Death was not able to hold its prey. Jesus, the Lord of the empty tomb, is the conqueror of death. And then in verse 8, we read, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Out of those verses, just pick the words. They left the tomb with fear. Jesus met them and said, do not be afraid. You see, the resurrection is not a problem. It's a blessing. The risen Lord who comes to meet us with all the reassurance we happen to need at that time. The empty tomb, the victorious Lord, and the guardian Savior. When I was a curate in Wolverhampton, all those millions of years ago, we had our own graveyard round the church, rather as we do here at St. George's. And that meant that we were relieved of municipal cemetery duty. It was reckoned we had enough on our hands without trudging off for a week's duty at the cemetery. And Wolverhampton had developed a municipal cemetery at Jeffcock Road, and it was the first, I think, or one, very nearly the first of the modern parkland cemeteries where you weren't allowed to choose your own tombstone. All the tombstones were marked in the same way by a flat slab of stone set into the grass. So that wherever you stood in Jeffcock Road, identical tombs stretched out north, south, east and west. Not a shadow of difference between any of them. Of course, it made grass cutting very easy and you know, it was useful from that point of view, but it was the essence of monotony. Not a bit of variation in the whole place. Well, one day, for a reason that I can't now remember, I had to go to Jeffcock Road to take a funeral service. But when I got there, the cemetery superintendent said to me, "Would you be able to stay after the funeral you've come for and take another funeral? Because I've just been told that the minister can't turn up and the party is already on its way. If you could do that, I would be so grateful." So, being an ordained man and therefore not just only working one day a week, but only getting up one day a week, I had time on my hands and I said, gladly. So there was I in a cemetery that I was unfamiliar with, where every grave was identical, to take a funeral for a family I'd never heard of or met before. And we took a service together and then we went to the graveside together. We gathered round this grave, identical with hundreds of others in the same cemetery. We gathered round the grave, and we were about to lower the coffin into the grave when one of the family said, "That's not our grave." Isn't that remarkable? Hundreds upon hundreds of graves, all of them absolutely identical. "That's not our grave." You see, the fact of the matter is that no matter how municipal authorities tried to make things identical and monotonous, you don't forget the grave where some loved one has been laid. Take me to Mount Jerome Cemetery in Dublin and blindfold me, and I'll lead you to Grandma's grave. You don't forget the grave where someone has been laid, even if it is identical with thousands of others, even if to the stranger's eye it is impossible to differentiate it from any other grave in the place. You don't forget where a loved one has been laid. And I think that's why Matthew is so insistent. The women followed him from Galilee. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. When they buried him, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there watching. On Easter Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came. Do you see the continuity? They'd been with Jesus all the way from Galilee. Oh, how carefully they watched where he was buried. And back they came on Easter Sunday morning. It's just one of those, it's one of those touches of reassurance that we have that the resurrection is a fact, an unmistakable, unchallengeable fact. the women who had come, the women who had watched, the women came back, the same women, back to where their dear, precious Jesus had been laid. And Luke is even more particular. If we had time to look up Luke, Luke says they saw the sepulchre and how he was laid. Because they didn't know that this tomb had never been used before. For all they knew, it was in multiple occupation. Therefore, it was important not only to mark the tomb, but the place. How careful they were. And they came face to face with an empty tomb. Can you imagine Mary Magdalene getting it wrong? Even more difficult, can you imagine the early church making up a story about an empty tomb if the tomb wasn't empty? Is that credible? It's not like as if they were expecting resurrection. They came with spices to anoint a dead body. Why, when the apostles were told that Jesus had risen from the dead, Luke says they thought it was humbug. Now, the Bible, of course, doesn't use the word humbug because it's not a polite word, but it's what the Greek word means. Humbug. No. They were incapable of making up a story of an empty tomb, both on factual and moral grounds. Imagine. Peter was preaching in Jerusalem only a matter of days later, and he ventured to say to people, "Do you remember that in the Psalms, David said, 'My flesh will rest in hope because you will not leave my soul in the place of the dead, nor let your Holy One see corruption.'" Now, said Peter, David did see corruption. You know where his tomb is, and his body is corrupting there. So he can't have been speaking by himself, about himself, can he? Being a prophet, he foresaw the Messiah, that he would not be left in the place of the dead, and he would not see corruption. Go to the empty tomb yourself. Do you feel it? In the very place where certainty had to be doubly certain, Peter preached of a body that wasn't there and had not descended into corruption. The empty tomb, the great Easter fact. And then there's the overcoming Lord. He was dead. He's been raised out from among the dead. The overcoming Lord, the Lord who has left death behind, the Lord who put death into reverse. Death is not like that for us. I remember as a boy sitting down to Sunday tea. It was in round about 1932. And there was a knock on the door, and I can't remember who went to the door, but whoever went to the door brought back the three words, "It's all over." Now, the senior ladies in our family were extraordinarily, even disastrously secretive. So certainly I, as a child, was never let in on anything that was happening. It's a defect that I bear to this day. And I didn't know that Aunt Sarah was ill, never mind at death's door. They understood the three words, "It's all over." They had to be explained to me, "Oh, it's your Aunt Sarah, she's died. It's all over." You see, that's what death does to us. It's all over. To us, it's irreversible. To us, it spells a line across our lives. We can't go back. The past is gone. It's all over. When David's little boy was very ill and chronically ill as a baby, David said, as long as the child was alive, there was hope. And therefore I prayed and fasted in case it might be that the Lord would have mercy and heal him. But now that he's dead, I'll go to him, but he can't come to me. It's all over. Not for Jesus. Not for Jesus. Jesus was not like Lazarus. Lazarus came back to life to die again. Jesus came back to life to live forever and ever and ever. "I am alive," said he, "forevermore, and I hold the keys of death." The overcoming Lord. That's a good one. And then there's the way that the story goes on. They ran from the tomb with fear. They did come face to face with something awesome, something unique, something downright supernatural. They ran from the tomb with fear. Oh, I can understand that. And do you remember how our selected words went on? They ran from the tomb with fear. Jesus met them. They thought they were coming to the tomb to meet him. They came to meet with a dead body. And they found the situation was the other way round. That there was a living Savior who came to meet them. They ran from the tomb with fear. Jesus met them. Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid." The living, risen Lord Jesus Christ has his eye of love on us all the time. He knows our situation. He knows our need. He knows our fears. He knows our worries. He knows our weakness. And because he is the living, loving Lord, he comes to meet us. And wherever there is the slightest need, there is the victorious Savior. close enough to touch. Don't be afraid. God, having raised his Son from the dead, sent him to bless you.